This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. None has the right to be worshipped except Allah, the most high, the most great, the most merciful, the most kind. We submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To Him do we come and to Him we will return. We turn to Him with istighfar and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings. And we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists us in our difficulties, removes from us and all the people of this dunya any difficulty and tribulation. We send our love, our greetings, our salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his family, his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. Ya Allah, let us be from amongst them. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, last week we began the book of purification, the book of Tahara. And of course, there have been a lot of events in this past week, and we will inshallah continue with the book of Tahara next week. But as we know that our brother Ahmed Kathrada, rahimullah, may Allah have mercy on him, he passed away. And events that have occurred today as well reminds us about the world that we're living in. And these are incidences that cause us to take stock and pause and look at our own lives and look at our society and to realize that, you know, there are bigger things at stake than our personal issues, our personal getting from day to day, A to B, you know, struggling just to pay the bills. There are greater aspirations that we should think about. So we begin by bidding farewell to a hero, to someone that if we don't know him, and I've never met our brother personally, we all owe him a debt. Now Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi says, whoever does not thank someone or thank people for the goodness that they do to us, then we have not thanked Allah. And this is somebody that we all owe a debt to. Because at a great personal sacrifice, you and I, our lives have been improved. Your children, my children, have a better opportunity, have a better future through Allah's grace and through people like this. So our brother Ahmed, as we said, one of the heroes, the father of one of our fathers of this nation, someone that, you know, subhanAllah, when he went to jail, I was reading he was about 30, 34 years old, basically close to my age. And when he came back out of jail, he was 60 years old. 60 years old, subhanAllah. So much of your life gone. Wasn't married before that, kids, all those things that are dearest to us were sacrificed for a cause, not just for his own personal benefit, but for the benefit of all of us. And we live off that benefit. We are able to come to these masajid, able to live freely because of the sacrifices and the cost paid by Brother Ahmed and many like him. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him a high place in Jannah, to forgive him of whatever mistakes and shortcomings. In kana muhsinan, that if he was whatever goodness, may Allah increase him in his goodness. May Allah change and substitute the life that he lost in this dunya with one better in the akhirah. And his position with Allah may it be high, and whatever shortcomings, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him. So we won't talk about his life. And we know there were many like him. But we talk about what we learn from people like Brother Ahmed. That number one, we understand that our deen, part of our deen is to stand up against injustice. Part of this deen is not just worshipping Allah. In fact, everything is worshipping Allah. But that worship isn't just making sujood. It's about standing up for what is right. Look at all the stories of the Anbiya. Nabi Musa, Nabi Salih, Nabi Hud, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In every time and place there will be a Fir'aun. And Islam is not just about making ibadah ritualistically, but it's standing up for what is right. That is what is a major part of our deen. One of the fundamental aspects of our deen is to stand up against oppression and against evil. And this man, he found in his deen, from his Islam, the hatred for oppression. And he stood up against the oppressor and the tyrant. Even if he wasn't the one receiving the most oppression, just because you are not the oppressed, you should hate oppression just as much. Even though others, we know our fellow brothers, our fellow community members that were black, received worse oppression than the Indians, than the Malays, than those who were lighter skinned, yet he stood with them. And just reading in his biography, that being an Indian fellow amongst a bunch of black fellows, it was quite, he was seen as, look, if we can get this guy to turn, if we could apply pressure on him, that give him some benefit, give him some privileges, he will turn on his friends and his colleagues. We don't maybe think about it like that. That you're standing up, he's one of the few non-blacks in the crowd. And therefore he was a target. And he was seen as if we can get him to turn. Yet he didn't bow under that pressure. And he didn't accept preferential treatment. Being oppressed is one thing. But when you have the opportunity to go forward at the expense of someone else, and you still turn it away, this is a bit of a different kind of challenge, subhanAllah. That if you're not going to treat us all equally, then I don't want that extra treatment. That is something great. That is a great attribute. That he believed, and this is something when we look at the dark times that we live in, and people that have spoken to him and people that relate stories, that when he took them on a tour, so he took a bunch of people from his foundation many years later to the Robben Island, and they said, how could you live 18 years in this place, this little tiny cell? How could you live 18 years like this? And he said that it was bad, it was tough, but they tried to remain positive because the sacrifice and the hardship was for a reason, for a goal, for a dream. That we are working towards something for the future. That's where we are. We're physically here, but our minds, our hearts are somewhere else. And as Muslims, we are taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we dream big and we always have hope. No matter how bad the situation is, we have that yaqeen in Allah. That tomorrow will be better than today. And that it is never hopeless. We never give up hope. We always strive for something better. Prophet ﷺ is described as always having a smile. No matter how bad the situation was, he was positive and content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to be determined in that dream. So when we look at our struggles today, and there are struggles in your personal life, there are struggles that we have as a community, as an ummah, what we see in Syria, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, and in other countries around the world, how do we fix these things? We begin with that niyyah, with that hope and that desire, Ya Allah, I don't know how to begin, but I'm convinced that if we do the right thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the situation we are in. So we never give up hope, and we never lose hope. And we never give up on that dream. Even if it takes us 10 years, 20 years, 100 years, even if we don't live to see that result, we still work on it. Our heroes of the past, it's easy when we look back in time and we say, oh, the Sahaba knew that Allah would give them victory. The Anbiya knew Allah was going to help them. The freedom fighters knew that eventually, you know, the good times will come. They never knew that. Many great people never got to see the fruits of their sacrifices. I was reading something that the Prophet ﷺ, after 5 years of giving da'wah, there were only 50 people who embraced Islam. You know, if we teach a class and after 5 years only 50 people come, it would be like a failure. But those 50 people, they actually went to go and change the world. That we don't count success in numbers and in hours spent. Our success is with Allah. What we are learned and taught in the Quran, the result is in Allah's hand. You do the effort and you do what you're supposed to do, Allah will give you the result. And He will make it such that you might struggle for many, many years. And it might seem impossible. And then right at the end, Allah, with just a change, a quick command, decree, everything changes overnight. And the same can be true in the opposite direction. So we don't give up. Our deen, we don't give up. No matter how small we are and how big the enemy is, how bad the situation is, how far behind we are in the race, we don't quit the race and give up. We are behind as an ummah. We know that. We are behind as a community. We know that. We are living currently in a low point in our history. If we look at the izzah and the greatness of the deen, the great times, the strength, we are now at one of the low points. But we don't stay here. And we should be dreaming about bringing this ummah forward. And that's what we should do. And we should make the most of a bad situation. So one thing from his life that I extract, 26 years in prison, As I said, 34, he went to jail, came out 60 years old, subhanAllah, the prime of his life, taken 18 of them on Roman Island. But what did he do in that time? While in prison, he obtained a bachelor's in arts, in history and criminology, a BA in bibliography, a BA honors in history, a BA honors in Africa politics. So he went and spent this time studying. Spend this time in prison to study, and today we find people burning universities, subhanAllah. Or people that have the opportunity to study, they have all the brains and all the smarts and all the financial means, but they go there and they waste their time, subhanAllah. People, you know, are in jail trying to elevate themselves. And even in the darkest of corners, this is something, again, I said, there are some principles in this deen, that the one who aspires and wants to learn knowledge, wherever you are, whoever you are, Allah will elevate you in that knowledge. Allah will raise you up through that knowledge. One of the things we find about the fathers of our nation, they were qualified people. They studied, not because they went to university, they didn't have the opportunity to go to university, but they made a point that we were going to read. Just an aside note, Malcolm X, our brother Malcolm X, rahimullah, when he went to jail, he was illiterate. He couldn't read or write. And he began reading books in jail to the point where he said, I was reading more books than university professors were reading. When he came out, he was, without any degrees to his name, highly educated. And through that, from being an angry person that had no future prospects, he revolutionized and changed his society. Knowledge will always bring about change. And we have, as a ummah, the opportunity. Those, our grandparents, maybe, they didn't have the opportunity to study. And that's not their excuse, but that will be counted for them in their favor. But we have the opportunity. It is sad that we lack our deen knowledge and secular knowledge when the opportunity is available to us. And change will only come through knowledge. Allah changed the world with Iqra. He began and said, Iqra first, before you even worship me, before Tawheed, before learning how to use the bathroom, begin with the concept of learning. That's one of the basis, fundamentals that we know that change comes from. And once again, we learn from the life of Brother Ahmad and many people like him, this principle, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. In the end, Allah says, the muttaqeen, those of taqwa, will succeed. Don't worry about how the scorecard looks. It might be all in favor of the tyrants and the oppressors. Don't worry. The end, the final whistle is blown. Al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. That good and good people will always triumph over evil. That no matter how strong Fir'aun is, and Fir'aun was the most powerful man on earth, that with a click of a finger, he killed people as he chose. Yet Allah sent Musa without an army, without wealth, without even a family that supported him, without even the ability to speak properly. Yet Allah toppled Fir'aun, and Allah raised up the oppressed. History after history will show, the tyrant will never succeed. And today's tyrants, this is a lesson to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادِ. Have you not seen what Allah did to the people of Aad? إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ. The people of Aad, they had a city called Iram, built, it was the most magnificent,